This is another episode of Prefer Not To, Weekly Cocktail Hour, with your hosts Kate and Josh.
Hello. I'm Kate.
Each week, Kate and I enjoy a cocktail and then move on to discussing sundry topics that may or may not be enjoyable to anyone other than us. Obviously, we hope that they are. So this week, going to break our rules a little bit and enjoy a martini because yep. Kate has never had herself a martini.
Yep.
I myself used to be a devoted martini drinker, so I will pitch it over to Kate, who will tell us about her amazing experience never having had a martini and all the things that she, in fact, knows now about martinis.
I'm a little scared because Josh has emphasized to me that this drink has to be gulped to be enjoyed, so I'm more of a sipper when it comes to and there he goes. Wow, the whole thing. How was it? Okay.
It's a tasty treat.
I'm gonna take half a gulp and then get back to you guys. The martini, its origins are kind of shrouded in mystery. It's one of those urban legends of cocktails where someone thinks that it was invented in England, someone thinks that it's actually from Mexico, or that, and there's been variations on the martini throughout history, whether it's, you know, two parts gin or if you add some wine. I'll be honest, there are a lot of origin stories. One being that it comes from a cocktail called the Martinez, referring to a nearby town of Martinez.
By the way, Kate is expert at using Wikipedia.
So either the people of Martinez say that the drink was invented by a bartender in town, or it just comes from the town itself.
Martinez is a town where?
It's nearby San Francisco. This would have happened in the 1870s. And then there's another cocktail called the Martinez that was served in San Francisco. And the first dry martini has been linked to the Knickerbocker Hotel in New York City in 1911, which is something I'm more inclined to believe.
That seems a bit...
The fact that it's such a ginny drink.
And it seems like pretty 20th century.
There's a couple of variations on the martini.
It's like a million variations.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're either a gin martini drinker or a vodka martini drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also garnish it with an onion or lemon twist or an olive.
People get very religious about their martinis.
They do.
I'm no different. I mean, I don't think you put vodka in a martini, but that's just me.
James Bond does.
You know what I have on James Bond? I exist.
But apparently it became most popular in the 20th century because of Prohibition, gin being a mass-distributed liquor at the time. And then afterwards, it just kind of exploded.
That's interesting, though, because you think of cocktails becoming popular during Prohibition because of poor quality liquor.
No one said it was great gin.
Well, but a martini is, it's barely a cocktail. I mean, it's basically just gin.
Ooh. That is interesting.
You gotta have the olive.
I know, but it's... The olive's all the way at the bottom.
It's like, it's an adventure to get there.
Josh is... When he was telling me how to drink a martini, he said that you're supposed to slurp it down.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten half of it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to get to the olive. But honestly, I just want... I love olives so much, I just want to eat the olives.
You've got two olives there. Have one olive. It'd be like two small martinis.
That's why I'm a fan of dirty martinis. I haven't really had one, but I feel like olive juice is only going to improve the flavor of a martini, which is essentially gin.
Yeah, but we're using good gin.
But I love olives.
And I love gin, so there it goes.
Yep, there we go.
That would be the real estate.
He's not drinking his with olives, by the way.
No, I enjoy mine with a twist, but that's just because I don't like olives to begin with. I don't know. It's the whole, like... they're a pickle, but they're not thing. And also the pimentos. I don't like anything with pimentos in them. I don't like pimento cheese.
Trivia. It taught me to realize that pimento cheese had pimentos in them. I had no idea what those little red things were until I was reading an olive bottle. Excuse me, an olive jar. And it said pimento olives. I was like, oh my God. It's one of those.
You know, wool socks have wool in them.
You know... The olive does make it worth it.
That's the key. It's you get the salty at the end. It's like a it's like a big boy version of the pretzel after you have a beer.
Well, what would just stop me from drinking, just taking a shot of gin and then eating like five olives?
Well, there's a couple of things. Okay, first of all, shots are they're for like frat boys.
Except you're gulping it down when you drink it, so it's pretty much
you have it in a wonderful glass and it's very, very cold.
Our I want to interrupt here because our glasses that we are using right now are plastic Halloween goblets that I bought at the dollar store last October.
Lovely Art Deco martini glasses. Don't let her lie to you. The point is that it is not that it is gin and vermouth. And by the way, you know, as time has gone by, the vermouth has been de-emphasized, which I think is not necessarily fair because it does end. It adds a little, like a pre-tang to the outlet.
Well, Wikipedia informs me that, as well as AskMen.com, informs me that that has happened. It used to be like half and half. Now it's like 2 1/3. Mm-hmm. And like
Wikipedia informs me that the president was born in Mongolia. Equally reliable. I got a haircut today.
You did.
I'm just saying. It doesn't happen very often because I am poor and you know,
I babysat today.
To see my face anyhow. What's that?
I said I babysat today.
You did. You worked very hard.
You always say that, but I'm just saying.
You work every single day of the week.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And then you came home and you brung, you know, for our stupid little dog and pony show, you got booze on the way home.
Yeah, we got to start, like, conserving the booze and, like, making cocktails with, like, the things we already have, you know?
Well, I think we're stocked up. We've got the bitters. We're good on bitters. Ugh. We got dry and sweet vermouth. Also, those bitters are not that good. Yeah, there's lots of different bitters.
Yeah, except they cost, like, $11 a jar.
Right, well, you know.
I'm just saying, we have a bunch of maraschino cherries, and unless we have, like, an ice cream social anytime soon, we're going to have to do something about that.
My wife is nodding vigorously in the corner that an ice cream social is... that would require having friends.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you married me and you knew that you were never going to meet another person as long as you
lived. And see...
Don't look at me like that.
This is...
My point is just that you work very hard. You don't think that's true?
I feel bad. I mean, like, I think... All of my work would make more sense. I think you say that. It makes me uncomfortable.
I don't know. All I know is you work every day and you come home. You get me crap on the way home.
Deal with bikers.
Right.
Have I told you this story?
Well, okay. So preface this. We live in a very cycle-friendly town. And again, I have nothing against the actual machine. I love machines themselves.
Well, I hate bicycles.
You're out on your own limb on this one. the machine is wonderful, and I understand... In theory, it's efficiency. However, you know, we live in one of these towns, and they are growing across everywhere. We have, you know, militant cyclists.
Mm-hmm.
And by militant, I mean they don't apparently care if they cause everyone to die.
Yeah, these are the type of people who write op-eds in the local newspaper about, you know, giving way to cyclists and monitoring the road. And then they themselves do not, in fact, follow the rules of traffic that they themselves have set out. It's very irritating. Today, I was picking up the dry vermouth from the local grocery store, and I took a back roads route because it was 5-ish o'clock, and it was very crowded. And so I took a back roads route, and there was this biker I had seen leave the parking lot. When I turned onto this road to take, like, the shortcut to our apartment, excuse me, not our apartment, I don't live with a biker, I live with Josh, but she was in the middle of the road.
Lives out in the storage shed.
She was in the middle of the road, and there was a bike path to the right. She didn't have to be in the road. There was literally a bike path set out for her that she was not in.
See,
and she had the nerve. She had the nerve to turn around and look at me and be all like, oh, "I'm God.
Right,
I hate bikers."
Right. See, look, I understand where they're coming from.
Excuse me, cyclists.
Right. They're not bikers, because bikers, you know, have beards and crank and old ladies. but, you know, I understand where they're coming from. You know, they want to be able to share the road legally. They are allowed to use the road, you know, for good or ill.
That's fine.
To use the road. The problem is just functionally, it becomes very difficult on many roads to share the roads between motor vehicles, which are large and made of heavy metal,
mm-hmm.
and, you know... The smaller bicycles, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's just, I think it's hard to get along, and neither side, there's not a lot of incentives for either side to get along, because as a motorist, I just get frustrated with the cyclists, and as a cyclist, they just get very sort of, you know, very, you know, religious about it.
They're saving the earth.
Well, right. There's the whole overlay of, you know, it doesn't matter what the public safety issue is because I love Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm sorry, that sounds mocking. And it is a little mocking. But it's just, you know, it's like, ultimately, you know, cars are not going anywhere. I'm sorry to ruin your world, Dr. Schwinn. But, you know, most people are going to be driving cars. You know, to me, it's like this. It's like this. You know, 10 years ago, right, mm-hmm. vegetarians mm-hmm. were like crazy people.
Right.
Right. And I think there's been sort of a mainstreaming and de-radicalization of
yeah.
vegetarianism.
Right.
No, not vegans, but vegetarianism.
Mm, yeah, okay.
Right. Such that, you know, it's not crazy. Like, people will meet a vegetarian. Yeah, you know, I can sort of see that. And to me, there has yet to be that sort of thing with cyclists, where it's just sort of like I get that. Yeah, maybe we should be riding on a bicycle. Because the cyclists, they're like vegans are now. It's just like, you know.
Annoying as shit.
No, just that it's like, there's such a stark moral divide that
oh.
it makes it hard for there to be, to share the road.
So preachy.
And I don't like my driving safety decisions to be based on some sort of external moral calculus. I like the number one factor to be the minimization of morbidity and mortality to all parties. You know, it's like...
I think part of my opinion when it comes to bikers is about the fact that
cyclists,
is that I myself have a really strange phobia when it comes to bikes. It's actually not that strange.
A phobia when it comes to bicycles?
So, I don't like bikes. I've had a couple of different people try and teach me how to ride a bike. At least four.
You don't know how to ride a bicycle?
I know how to ride a bicycle. You get on the seat and you pump the pedals.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I know how to fly an airplane in the sense that I know how airplanes work. That doesn't mean that, you know, when we're over Macho Grande, you want me instead of Ted Stryker piloting you in
okay.
when the captain has eaten the fish.
Okay. An airplane is different from a bicycle. Okay?
Yeah. Yes or no question. Yes or no question. If I were to put you on a bicycle,
mm-hmm.
could you pedal it and arrive at a destination?
No.
Then you don't know how to ride a bicycle.
No, I know how to ride it. I just have such a fear.
When someone says to you and they're describing an easy process to you and they mm-hmm. say, it's just like riding a bicycle,
mm-hmm.
do you become terrified that you'll never be able to complete that task?
No, I think of it as like, because it's, for most other people, it's easy. It's like, you know, one of those things that everybody learns to do, and it's like, oh, okay, it's like just another metaphor, like a common metaphor that doesn't make much sense,
mm-hmm.
like any other metaphor, but the...
Wait, what would you know? You don't know how to ride a bicycle, so you have nothing to compare it to.
I was just talking, it's a colloquialism.
It would be like telling me it's as easy as embroidery.
Embroidery is actually very easy.
Is it? Because I've never done it, I have no idea.
Yeah, but the difference here being is that I have ridden.
Okay, I gotcha. So you hate cyclists because they can do something.
You're not curious about why I hate bikes? Like, what the backstory is there?
Well, you told me it's because you can't ride a bicycle.
No, that's not even it.
Okay, so what is it?
I was learning. I loved bikes once upon a time.
Now you love bikers.
They all have beards. So, well, okay, I'm not blanket stating here, but I assume that most bikers have beards, and I'm a lady that loves a beard, so... All right, fine.
So why do you hate bicycles?
No, we can just leave it for a future podcast.
Tell me about bicycles.
I used to love riding bikes, and then this was when
But you told me you couldn't.
I used to love riding... Can I tell the story?
Okay.
Or not?
Tell the story.
I used to love riding bicycles when I had a tricycle. It was wonderful. I had Barbie pads and everything.
Hold on. That's like saying, I used to love doing brain surgery when I massaged somebody.
Okay, fine. We're not going to get this story. You're done.
Okay,
you're cut off.
No, tell me the story.
You're cut off,
yeah,
Lucas.
Tell me the story. You used to love riding bicycles when your bicycle was a tricycle.
Eventually, like most kids, the tricycle wheels came off and it was a bicycle. And I was being trained to ride said bicycle from the stop sign at the end of our street to the mailbox in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it. Like, I kept falling over. I kept losing balance and stuff and like, scraping myself and everything. And I just wanted to quit. I was like, can we do this another time? And so, unfortunately, I just wanted to stop. Like, just get off the bike, try again another day. Like, it was just very uncomfortable. It's, like, just kind of a thing. And my dad, he insisted that I finish. I would have to do it before I could quit.
Yeah. Well, now it's like the Brussels sprouts.
It is. Like, it's like the Brussels sprouts for you. It's like, he's like, you're going to finish this before we go inside. And all I wanted to do was just go inside. And, like, I, there was, like, a reward. We were going to go to my favorite ice cream shop afterwards.
But there's no reward that can make up for the, for, like, being, you know, publicly humiliated.
And it wasn't publicly. I mean, it was just in the neighborhood.
What?
But the
You're
idea
what,
was
eight?
I...
How much public do you have?
It was probably, like, 6 or 7. I just wanted to stop, and I was crying, and I kept falling over, and it's one of those memories that I'm just like, no, and I just hate bikes. Like, if I sit on a... I've had... Like I said, I've had a couple of different people try to teach me how to ride a bike, and I just... The whole idea that if you stop moving, you can fall over... That terrifies me. I realize this makes me a crazy person.
But, I mean, you know, you're not going to stop, just like stop moving.
Yeah, but the bike starts wobbling.
Right. Then you just pedal.
No. No. No.
If I mean, you, I get where you're coming from.
It's you just know, like I one really, of those, like, it's just one of like, those you're not, visceral.
You're scared of flying too, aren't you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mostly because if I ever stop to think that I am in a metal tube, thousands of feet above the ground, that freaks me out.
Well, that's like a biological adaptive response kind of thing.
No, because, you know, everyone thinks they're on a great flight before it just randomly explodes.
I don't know. No. I've been on some really horrible flights, like out of Las Vegas.
It's true, though. It's like no one ever thinks that they're a bad driver. Everyone's a good driver in their own minds. You always think and assume that you're going to be okay, because let's be honest, like, it's only like one out of every 1,000 airplanes that decide to randomly blow up and crash in the ocean.
You know, the plane doesn't have agency. It doesn't decide to blow up.
Yes, I know.
It's having a bad day.
Yes, I know. But what if it's just it's a tick in my mind? What if you're on the plane that blows up?
Well, right. It's because you know, we suck at assessing risk. This is one of Josh's pet issues. We remember the hits and we forget the misses. You know, we remember the plane crashes because we don't take note of the thousands and thousands of planes that uneventfully fly across the country every single day.
Right, but it doesn't stop that from being a fear in your head. Like, cars are much more dangerous. You can get into a car wreck almost any day. Planes are apparently the safest way to travel.
Right.
But it's still, like, a visceral, like, fear.
Well, I mean, but you scoffed when I said that was a biological adaptation. I mean, I can only... I mean, that's... It's the same reason that people who are claustrophobic tend to be afraid of airplane flights.
Or people who are afraid of snakes are afraid of airplane flights.
Really? Well, that's just the one guy. You know what? Neither of us is a scientist. Nobody's going to be tuning into our podcast to learn the latest on brain science.
Brain science.
Because if they are, I think pretty much we've done a brain science experiment right there on them. No. So, you should try riding a bicycle.
No,
it's actually very
No. I have tried. I have tried multiple times. Last time I tried was my freshman year of college, and it terrified me. And the whole time, I just wanted to get off.
I mean, you know.
If you stop moving, you die. That's the whole thing. It's like speed on a bicycle. And I know that makes no sense, but if you stop moving, you'll fall over.
Disgruntled Schwinn employee who's put a bomb on your bike that if you don't ring the bell every mile, it blows up.
If you stop moving, you will fall over. And it's just it's a visceral thing with me. And I realize it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so this will be my last note of the bicycle. I understand that if you stop moving, you'll fall over, Kate.
And die.
Here's why you won't die. You realize that if you stop moving and fall over, it is only because the bicycle has slowed to such an extent that you can't stay upright. So literally, like, if the bicycle is at the point of falling over, you are too slow for it to make any difference.
My whole, it's terrifying to me. And I realize that I sound like a crazy person, but this is one of my things.
We all have irrational fears. My God knows, I am the king of irrational fears. I don't write things because I'm afraid of Norman Mailer punching me in the face. Or, like, I worry about meeting celebrities because they would think that I'm lame. Like, well, look at my Twitter feed, and I'm like, I don't want famous people to see my Twitter feed because I know that they will think
they're going to think you're lame no matter what. They're famous people, and you're still, like, in the gutter.
But you're just perking me up left and right, sister.
I'm just saying, like, if you're in the grocery store...
Let's go take a bike ride.
No, stop it. If we were in the grocery store mm-hmm. and you ran into someone famous, I don't even know who.
I think it depends on who it is.
Well, maybe, but if you met some, let's say you met Mailer in the grocery store.
So I'm over in the food line.
Let's say you're
and I'm buying some, you know, brown free-range eggs. And
yeah.
Over there in the fat-free sour cream section,
yeah.
Norman Mailer is hemming and hawing because he doesn't know whether he's got his little discount card for the cashier to scan. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't know what brand of fat-free sour cream to buy.
Right.
To sate his zombie lust
for sour cream.
Dairy.
Yes. And you walked up to him and you were like, well, you know, Mr. Mailer, I'm a huge fan.
I'm not even a huge fan.
Oh, well, just the fact, would you acknowledge the fact that you were standing next to Norman Mailer or would you
no.
walk away?
I would just walk away.
Okay, let's pick a slip. Let's say John Hodgman.
I'd just walk away.
Shirley Manson?
Walk away.
You would walk away from every celebrity. Is there a celebrity that you would not walk away from?
From a celebrity. Because I'm just terrified that they would think I was a doof. Like, I would much rather in my head have the image of a celebrity that I admire as, like, a whatever talented person. Like, you know, John Hodgman being funny or, you know, Shirley Manson being sexy and singing. Then like, walk up to a person and just have, you know, have Shirley Manson call me a stupid git.
I don't think that she would do that. She'd probably be very gracious.
And, you know, I don't want to run the odds. Why play the odds?
Okay. I'm just saying,
Have you met any celebrities who are really nice to you?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
But you get the feeling that if you walk up to, I don't know, like, let's say, pick a celebrity that we both know.
But what, toward what end? Like, that I'm gonna, is this like the box?
I just feel like if you
like
walked up to, if you walked up to Elizabeth Olsen, if you walked
Joe
up,
Walsh.
If you walked up to Elizabeth Olsen and you were like, listen, I really love you, I think that you are a great actress.
You mean Elizabeth Moss.
Elizabeth Olsen? No, I'm talking about Elizabeth Olsen.
Which one? I thought you were talking about Peggy Olsen.
No, I'm talking about the younger sister of the Mary-Kate and Ashley.
What does she do? I don't even... I'm old.
Okay, fine, fine. Just pick,
what does she do?
Just
is she a rapper?
Just pick a celebrity.
Does she do knitting?
Just pick a celebrity.
Interior design?
Okay, fine.
Shoes?
Jared Harris. You walk up to Jared Harris and you're like... Yo,
right.
You are a really great actor.
Answer a question for me. How much money do you make every year off of the royalties from MacArthur Park?
That's a good question.
Like that's the only piece of information.
Would it pass to his estate?
I don't know. That's my question.
Like Richard Harris,
it would pass. Some kind of a kickback from MacArthur Park, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. But no, I'd walk up to Jared Harris. Well,
would you really? You would really walk up
to Jared
Harris.
Let's say we're browsing eggs, and I look over, and the next person is Jared Harris.
Well, first of all...
There's a celebrity next to me when I'm browsing eggs that I want, that I admire, or that I even recognize as a celebrity. It could be, like, fucking Gwen Stefani. Mm-hmm. I look over and be like, holy shit, that's Gwen Stefani.
I might actually talk to Gwen Stefani.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. She seems fun.
Okay. Well, my point being is that you look over, and you're like, whoa, that's so-and-so.
Here's what it is. Like, honestly, and this is horrible. I think, here's what it is. Male celebrities,
mm-hmm.
like, pretty much across the board, I'm not going to talk to.
You're not going to.
Yeah. Female celebrities,
mm-hmm.
I think if they're my height or taller, I'm not going to talk to them. I'm only going to talk to short girl celebrities. That's why Shirley Manson's off the list.
What would you do if you were next to Linda Cardellini?
I think because she's not tall, but... she's taller than you, I think.
Probably.
Not that tall.
Most people are. I feel like if I was next to a celebrity, like picking out lettuce or comparing spices or whatever, like I would probably look over and just kind of smile and then go back to what I was doing.
What does Jared Harris give a shit what you think about his choice in allspice?
I don't think he does. I think it's just a question of you're like reaching for like the allspice at the same time and you look and you're like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. You know, you go first. And you realize that it's someone famous and you're just like, okay. And you just, in my position,
I
would.
That's my point.
I would
didn't talk to him. Did you?
Yeah, but he knows he's famous. They all do.
But you were asking me if I would talk to him, and I said no. And you just said you would not talk to him either.
Yeah,
despite your clear common interest in allspice.
I mean, what am I going to say to him? allspice is super good in this cranberry recipe that I have. Let me give it to you.
No. First of all, that would be a lie because you don't have a cranberry recipe.
I do.
Does it use allspice?
Yes.
Why haven't you made this for me?
Because it's like a Thanksgiving type thing. I mean, I can make it for you. It's a cranberry like sauce. I knew you last Thanksgiving.
I knew you last Thanksgiving.
You didn't ask me to bring any food.
You didn't volunteer.
Oh. It's dried cranberries. Mm-hmm. It's actual cranberries.
This is cranberry sauce that you were making?
And a cranberry cocktail. Yeah, and you and there's some sugar involved, and you fry it in a pan, and it kind of congeals. And then you scrape it, also with the allspice, and then you scrape it into a pot, and you freeze it. It's one of those things that lasts for, like, you could make it, like a week before if you wanted to. And you serve it the next day, and it's a perfect cranberry sauce. It's super easy to make.
Hey, why are you watching The Scandal? Seriously, explain the appeal of this show to me.
It's been a show that people have recommended, mm-hmm. and that it seems like, okay, it's about political machinations in Washington, D.C.,
but
sure.
It's not. It's like, it's written by people. It's like if I wrote something about being in a sorority. They clearly have no clue what they're writing about.
I watched the first episode and I wanted to watch the second. And by that point, you know, maybe I just want to see Tony Goldwyn and...
Which is fine. I'm not begrudging you that.
Maybe I just want an excuse to watch, you know, Kerry Washington and Tony Goldwyn, like, make out. Aggressively.
Well, they do that.
They do do that. It's brain candy.
Right, but you get mad at me when I say that the show is relentlessly dumb.
Because you say it like every 5 seconds
because
when I'm watching.
Watching it every 5 seconds.
No, I'll be watching it in the space of 60 minutes. You're just sitting there going, "Gah, ah." And it's like, you know what? You can go in the other room or I can watch it when you're asleep. That's not the problem.
Okay.
It's just like, if you don't like it, I get it. You know, you watch tons of shit that I think is tedious and stupid.
When you're not here. And it's not even that I dislike The Scandal in that it's completely horrible and brain dead and made by people who have no clue what they're writing about. Mm. But, you know, I at least turn my head and laugh. In the sense that it is audaciously stupid.
You're being very condescending right now.
But I'm not. You don't think audaciously stupid is an accurate description of that show?
The fact that you called it stupid to begin with, you can say it's poor plotting, poor character, like poor anything.
Right, but all of those are fruit of the stupid tree.
Your insistence on calling a TV show stupid, it's not Lost. Okay, which is a whole other topic that we need to
Wait,
talk about.
You think Scandal is a smarter show than Lost?
Yes. Yes. At least they know where they're going.
No.
Like, yeah, let's just agree to disagree.
No, that's
you don't like Scandal. I like Scandal.
There you go. And it's not even that I don't
you
like it.
You have the choice to walk out of the room when I'm watching
it. That is exactly. And I don't. That's my point.
So
I don't.
There you go.
I don't. I mean, it's absurd, but I turn my head and I'm like, what kind of stupid, absurd shit are they going to do now? It's like Mary Worth. I think Mary Worth is brilliant, but I went through a period of 2 years where I was reading Mary Worth every day. You're a big fan of the Star Trek, right?
Yes.
You're an enthusiast, and I'm not.
Yes.
But, you know, I can appreciate that you like the Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going somewhere with this. Are you familiar with the story of the 52 Hertz whale?
This is the loneliest whale
in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't know. Basically, this is a whale that somewhere in the world, they don't even know where it is making these whale songs that because of some mutation or it's some sort of hybrid, no other whale can hear. So it's like the loneliest creature in the world. It's just out there in the middle.
I thought it was like too high-pitched for lady whales
It's the ordinary frequency of whales is something like 10 to 25 hertz or something.
And it's like 52.
And it's at 52 hertz-ish, which puts it into the realm of what humans can hear, mm-hmm. just dimly, because I think we go down to about 20 hertz or something. But no other whale in the world can hear. So it's just out there in the ocean, you know, screaming about how lonely it is all the time, which is pretty much the saddest story in the universe. So naturally, I'm reading this and I'm like, wouldn't that be awful if, like, in Star Trek 4,
mm-hmm.
they went back and, like, that was one of the whales that they got? So, like, they bring it back into the future to, like, try and scream at that spaceship coming from another planet to get it to stop. And all the other, it's like, what? It's not, it doesn't hear me. It won't stop destroying the Earth.
Do you know what type of whale it was?
In the movie or in real life?
No, in real life.
They don't know. It's like some sort of hybrid blue/sperm. So it's not a humpback whale like it is in the stupid movie.
There you go.
I've seen
there you
movie.
Go.
I'm fully aware of the movie.
I mean, honestly, if it's a hybrid of a blue and a sperm whale, then it doesn't deserve to exist at all. I mean, it's an abomination.
It's just one of the theories. It could also just be, you know, like, I don't know, troubled.
It was a sad story.
It was a sad story. Loneliest whale in the world. How do you like the martini?
I like it a lot.
What are we going to do next week? What kind of drink are we going to have next week?
Oh, gosh. Have we even thought about this? I don't know. Well, we have vermouth.
Mm-hmm.
We have gin.
Some of them we welcome suggestions. PNTcast@gmail.com. Tell us a drink we should have. And again, don't be some kind of jerk and tell us that we need to have a turd-tini.
Because that's probably a real beverage.
I'm sure it is. You know, you've been to more frat houses than I have, but, you know.
Well.
I'm not going to drink something with poop in it. Nothing from under the sink, as Bill Havercheck would say.
I don't know. We're going to have to investigate this. We can consult my book of old man drinks and figure out which one we want. What else do you have to talk about?
That's it. I had this whole thing in there. Well, and then there's the other thing about how I'm terrified of Jezebel.
Of Jezebel? Really?
You know this, but that's an ongoing topic about how I read Jezebel every day because, you know, I'm a feminist man.
It's the same with you and XOJ, and you read it, like, religiously.
I read them religiously. I know. And yet, you know, I, like, curl up with sheets they're just terrified.
Because you're afraid of the true state of humanity?
I'm afraid of everything. Jesus Christ, I'm afraid of maraschino cherries. You know, I'm afraid of plaque.
Why are you afraid of maraschino cherries?
Because I could choke on them.
You can choke on anything.
Yeah. Did you ever the time I choked on a hot dog in a Shoney's?
So get used to it. You can choke on anything. You know what? I could choke on this fucking martini that I'm about to finish.
Your wisdom would carry more weight if you were mounted on a bicycle as it was moving.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
This has been Prefer Not To. Weekly Cocktail Hour. Kate and Josh, visit us on iTunes, review us, email us at pntcast@gmail.com,
mm-hmm.
or follow us at pntcast on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to our next program, probably more than you do, but that's the way the world works. Have fun, folks.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Kate. I'm Josh.
See you next time. Bye.